You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. This is a reading of the Bamford translation of the book by Rudolf Steiner, entitled How to Know Higher Worlds, A Modern Path of Initiation. This is Chapter 8, entitled Achieving Continuity of Consciousness. Paragraph 1. Human life unfolds in three alternating states. These are the waking state, the state of dream sleep, and the state of deep dreamless sleep. To better understand how a person may attain deeper insights into the spiritual worlds, we must therefore form some idea of the changes that occur, for those seeking such knowledge, in each of these states. Before we undertake the training required to attain such insights, our consciousness is continually broken by periods of sleep. During these intervals, our soul knows nothing either of the outer world or of itself. At certain moments, however, dreams related either to events in the outside world or to the condition of our own body rise up out of the ocean of unconsciousness. Normally, we consider such dreams as simply a particular manifestation of sleep, and hence generally distinguish only two states of consciousness, sleeping and waking. In occult science, however, the dream state has a separate significance, independent of the two other states. The previous chapter described the changes that occur in our dream life when we undertake the ascent to higher knowledge. Our dreams lose their meaningless, disorderly, and disconnected character and begin to form an increasingly regular, lawful, and coherent world. As we evolve further, this new dream-born world not only becomes the equal of outer sensory reality with regard to inner truth, but also reveals facts depicting, in the full sense of the word, a higher reality. The sensory world conceals mysteries and riddles everywhere around us. At the same time, it reveals the effects of certain higher realities in it. But as long as our perception is limited to our senses, we cannot penetrate to the causes of these effects. These causes are partially revealed to us in the state that develops out of our dream life, a state that by no means remains static. Of course, we cannot consider these revelations to be real knowledge until we see the same things during our ordinary waking life. But with time and practice, this too occurs. That is, we evolve inwardly to the point of being able to transfer into waking consciousness the state we first formed out of our dream life. This enriches the sense world with something quite new. It is as if we were born blind and were to undergo a successful operation. We would find the world enriched by what our eyes then saw. It is the same when we become clairvoyant in the manner described above. We see the whole surrounding world filled with new qualities, new things, new beings, and so forth. Then we need no longer wait for dreams to live in another world. Now we can transpose ourselves into the state for higher perception whenever it is appropriate. In fact, this state now becomes as important to us as our active perceptions are in ordinary life when compared to what we perceive passively. Thus it may truly be said that as students of the occult, we open the sense organs of the soul and behold things that must remain hidden from the physical senses. Paragraph 2. This state, however, is only a transition to still higher stages of knowledge. For in due course, as we continue the practice of the exercises connected with our training, we find that the radical changes described above are not limited to dream life, but that this transformation, in fact, extends to what we had before considered the state of deep, dreamless sleep. At first, we notice only that the complete unconsciousness that usually accompanies the state of deep sleep is occasionally interrupted by isolated conscious experiences. That is, out of the universal darkness of sleep, perceptions of a previously unknown kind now emerge. To describe these experiences is not easy. Our languages were designed for the material world and contain words that only approximate things not belonging to this world. Nevertheless, for the time being, we must use words to describe the higher worlds. But we can do so only if we make free use of analogy in much of what we say. We can do this because everything in the universe is related to everything else. Indeed, the things and beings of the higher and material worlds are sufficiently related so that, with a little goodwill, we can obtain a conception of the higher worlds through words intended for the material world. But we must always be conscious of the fact that a great part of such descriptions of the supersensible worlds must inevitably consist of analogies and symbols. Only a part of esoteric training itself, therefore, uses ordinary language. For the rest, we learn a symbolic mode of expression that results naturally from our ascent into higher worlds. We acquire this language for ourselves during the course of our training. This does not mean, however, that we cannot experience something of the nature of the higher worlds from the exoteric descriptions given here. Paragraph 3. The conscious and, at first, isolated experiences that emerge from the ocean of unconsciousness in deep sleep are best understood as a kind of, in quotes, hearing. One may describe them as perceptible tones and words. Just as, in comparison to ordinary sense experience, we may describe what happens in dream sleep as a kind of seeing, so we may compare what occurs in deep sleep to impressions received by the ears. Incidentally, we may remark that in the spiritual worlds, seeing is the higher of the two faculties. In the spiritual world, colors are higher than sounds and words. But what the student first perceives of this world, as a result of esoteric training, are not the higher colors, but the lower sounds. It is only because our general development has already prepared us for the world revealed in dream sleep that we immediately see colors. We are less prepared for the revealing of the higher world in deep sleep. Therefore, at first, this world reveals itself only in sounds and words, and only thereafter does one ascend to colors and forms. Paragraph 4. Once we notice such deep sleep experiences, our main task is to make them as clear and vivid as possible. At first, this will be very difficult, for we have only an extremely faint experience of what we perceive during this state. Thus, upon awakening, we may know that we have had certain experiences, but what these were remains still quite unclear. The most important thing at this early stage is to remain calm and composed. We must never for a moment yield to impatience and restlessness, for these are always harmful. Far from speeding up our development, they only delay and hinder it. In other words, we must calmly accept whatever we are given or granted, and must never force anything. If, for a while, we do not notice any such experiences during sleep, we must simply wait patiently until they appear. This moment will assuredly come. forcing their appearance, may temporarily bring on such experiences, but then they may disappear again completely for longer periods of time. If we remain calm and composed, however, the ability to perceive these things will become our permanent possession. Paragraph 5. Once this faculty for perception in sleep has been achieved, and sleep experiences stand before our consciousness in complete clarity and vividness, we can then focus our attention on them. We shall find that we are able to distinguish with some precision two kinds of experiences. The first is completely different from anything we have ever known. Initially it delights and uplifts us, but for the moment we should leave it alone. Such experiences, in fact, are the first heralds of a higher spiritual world in which we find our bearings only later. Attentive observation of the second kind of experiences reveals a certain relationship between these and the ordinary world we live in. We find that these experiences illuminate not only our daily reflections, but also the things around us that we have tried to grasp with our ordinary mind but could not. During the day we think about the world around us. We form mental pictures to try to understand the connections between things. We seek to understand what our senses perceive with the aid of concepts. It is to these mental pictures and concepts that this second kind of sleep experiences refers. Concepts that were previously vague and shadowy now become resonant and alive, much like the sounds and words of the material world. We feel increasingly as though a higher world were softly whispering in our ears answers to the riddles we ponder. We find ourselves able to connect with our everyday life what we receive from the higher world in sleep. Things that we could only think about before now become as vivid and meaningful to us as any sensory experience in the physical world. We realize that the things and beings of this sense-perceptible world are more than what our senses can perceive. They are the expression and product of a spiritual world whose reality was hidden from us before, but now resounds for us out of our whole environment. Paragraph 6. It is easy to see that just as our physical senses are useful for the accurate observation of the world, only if they are properly developed and structured, so this higher capacity of perception can benefit us only if the soul's newly opened organs of perception are in good order. As indicated above, it is we ourselves who produce these higher senses by practicing the exercises that are part of our esoteric schooling. These exercises, of course, consist of concentration and meditation. Concentration means that we focus our attention on particular mental pictures and concepts connected with the mysteries of the cosmos. Meditation means living in such ideas, immersing ourselves in them in accordance with the instructions. Through such concentration and meditation, we work on the soul and develop its organs of perception. Applying ourselves to the tasks of concentration and meditation, we help the soul to grow within the body, just as an embryo does within the mother's womb. The appearance of the isolated experiences that occur in sleep, parenthesis, as described above, close parenthesis, signals the approach of the moment of birth for the soul that has now become free. For by this whole process, the soul has literally become a different being, one we have germinated and brought to maturity within ourselves. Great care must therefore be taken to ensure that we make the right inner efforts in concentration and meditation. The efforts must be precisely observed, for they are the laws governing the germination and development of the higher human soul being. When it is born, this higher being must be an harmonious, properly structured organism. If we neglect to follow the instructions carefully, the result will not be a true living being with its own inherent laws, but a miscarriage on the spiritual plane, incapable of life. Paragraph 7. Why the birth of this higher soul being must first occur during deep sleep becomes clear when we consider that this delicate and vulnerable organism, lacking all powers of resistance, could not function if it appeared in physical everyday life, for the strenuous, harsh processes of this existence would overwhelm and overpower it. Its activities would be completely overshadowed by those of the body. In sleep, however, when the body and its activities based on sense perception are at rest, the activity of the higher soul, at first so delicate and inconspicuous, can make itself felt. Here, again, we must bear in mind that we cannot consider these sleep experiences to be fully valid knowledge until we are capable of bringing the newly awakened higher soul across into waking consciousness. Once we can do this, we can perceive the spiritual world in its own character, between and within our everyday experiences. That is, our soul can grasp, as sounds and words, the mysteries of the world around us. Paragraph 8. It must be understood that at this stage of esoteric training, our experience is limited to spiritual experiences that are isolated and more or less unconnected. Therefore, we must guard against the temptation of using these experiences to construct a closed, systematic edifice of knowledge. Such attempts would only introduce all sorts of fantastic images and ideas into the soul world. We could easily construct a world that has nothing to do with the real spiritual world. Hence, we must exercise the utmost self-discipline at all times. The best thing is to work on achieving greater and greater clarity regarding each experience, while at the same time waiting calmly for new experiences to arise spontaneously and to unite themselves of their own accord with those already known. In other words, we find ourselves experiencing, by means of the force of the spiritual world we have now entered, as well as by our continuing practice of the appropriate exercises, an ever-expanding extension of consciousness in periods of deep sleep. More and more experiences emerge from unconsciousness. Our periods of unconscious sleep grow shorter and shorter, and gradually these isolated experiences come together of their own accord, without their real connection being in any way disturbed by such conjectures and conclusions as could derive only from the ordinary mind accustomed to the sense world. Clearly, the less we mix the ways of thinking appropriate to the sense world with these higher experiences, the better. As we follow these guidelines, we draw ever nearer to that stage on the path to higher knowledge, at which we can transform previously unconscious states of sleep life into full consciousness. Then we will live in as real a world when our body is asleep as when we are awake. Needless to say, at first, the reality we deal with when asleep is different from the sense perceptible one in which our body lives. Eventually we learn, in fact, we must learn, if we are to keep our feet on the ground and not become fantastic visionaries, how to connect these higher sleep experiences with our ordinary sense-perceptible surroundings. Nevertheless, at first the world we experience in sleep is a completely new revelation for us. Esoteric or occult science calls the important stage of development wherein we become conscious in sleep, quote, continuity or unbrokenness of consciousness, close quote. Footnote: what is outlined here presents a kind of ideal for a certain stage of development, an ideal attained only at the end of a long path. As beginning esoteric students, we first come to know only two states or conditions: consciousness in a state where previously only disordered dreams were possible, and consciousness in a state that previously we recognized as unconscious, dreamless sleep. End of footnote. Paragraph 9. For a person who has reached this stage of development, perception and experience are no longer interrupted by those periods when the body rests and the soul no longer receives impressions from the senses. Consciousness is unbroken. The end of chapter 8.